Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Representative Lisa Lyons. She's on the other end of our line. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Are you driving right now?
I'm in a car, but it's pulled over.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in, actually, Marshall
right now. All
right.
Give us a weather report down there, if you will.
The sun's coming up, a little cloudy, but thank goodness there's no rain, and thank the Lord for no snow.
amen to that. Let's talk about a very touchy subject around the state, whether you're for or against cyber schools and the cyber school bills. A lot of people are concerned about this. It's interesting to talk to folks who like cyber schools, those who are against. Tell us your view of cyber schools.
Well, my view is this is the future of education. This is how our kids are going to learn in the future. And it's nothing new. It's been done in other states, and in fact, it's being done here in Michigan. So I'm really excited about our opportunity to expand this type of learning and choice for students and parents.
Why do you think there are opponents for cyber schools?
Well, to be very frank with you, Tony, I think the opponents, truly, I'm not getting opposition from parents in my district. I'm not getting opposition from other people in my district. I'm getting opposition from school superintendents and ISDs, and I think it's kind of a turf war because 619, while it expands the opportunities for our public school, our traditional public schools to do online learning, it also allows for the expansion of online charter schools, and that's the opposition. It's about competition and money for them.
When I talk to some educators, and I've talked to folks from the MEA, from the American Federation of Teachers Michigan branch, they say that they don't believe cyber schools are credited enough, that the numbers aren't in, the results aren't in on how effective that they are, and that also they take away that interaction with the teacher.
Sure. A couple things. Number one, to deal with the interaction from the teacher, we know, I've been to a cyber charter school. I've seen them actually interact via the computer with their teachers. This isn't shoving kids in a basement or in a locked room and just turning them loose on a computer. There is tremendous amount of interaction, one-on-one interaction, in fact, with teachers and students. And like other schools, like traditional schools, virtual charter schools also offer field trips and interactive activities, proms, things like that. So the social component is really a moot issue here. But with accreditation and not having enough data, we are expecting a study here in a couple months to see how our two existing virtual charter academies are doing. But the reality is there's data from other states, and that shows they're working. The scores that we've seen from our existing charters show that, particularly I'll use Connections Academy as an example, they are outperforming students in the traditional schools that are within that same geographic area. So, I mean, we have enough data, and really, the data that's most important to me is that we have a waiting list of 10,000 students whose parents want them in these schools, and I trust those parents to make that decision for their kids.
We're talking with State Representative Lisa Lyons from Alto. She is the Assistant Majority Floor Leader. Lisa, when we talk about cyber schools, opponents, especially folks in education and the Democrats, say that there is a Republican agenda to take away the power, to take away money, to take away districts' ability to teach kids better by cutting funding and making them, putting them in a position to use cyber schools when they don't believe that they're effective. How would you address that?
Well, Tony, let me start by saying I'm a huge proponent of our traditional public schools. I'm a product of one. My sister was a public school teacher. My mother-in-law works in our public schools. And most importantly, I send my kids to public schools. Two of my four kids are going through the public school system right now. And so I think, and I firmly believe, that we can offer competition and education and choices and alternatives for parents without being anti-traditional public schools. They are not mutually exclusive. In fact, this issue isn't about our schools. It's about our kids and their education and what they need to be to do in order to be prepared for the workforce. As far as the opposition goes, of course, the opposition is focused. It's about money for adults and buildings. Support is about learning for students and choice for parents.
Opponents claim privately run cyber schools will siphon tax dollars for public schools while diminishing the quality of education. As a matter of fact, I want to read you this quote. There is a serious concern about them being able to educate at a mediocre level, much less the level our community schools do. And that's from Frank Brennan, who's the state director of Working America, an affiliate of the AFL-CIO. Respond to that.
Sure. Those are the same fear tactics and scare tactics we're hearing from the same group of people about every issue we deal with in education and in our ultimate reform agenda. I'm not surprised to hear that, but the fact is these schools are performing adequately, and the way we have done this legislation is there are quality measures baked into this legislation that other states that maybe have had less of a track record didn't have. Number one, 619 imposes caps on the number of schools and the enrollment cap of 2%. In addition to that, these cyber charter schools have to comply with the same rules and regulations that all other public schools must comply with, plus they have to adhere to National Online Learning Association standards. And on top of that, remember, these are charter schools, so they still have to comply with their authorized agreements. If their authorizers detect that these charter schools aren't up to snuff and aren't educating our kids properly, they don't want their name associated with that charter school, and they will not, they'll not renew their authorizer agreement.
Lisa, is there part of Senate Bill 619 that will audit those for-profit schools?
These aren't for-profit schools. These are charter schools, and they use what the opposition is saying for-profit is they contract with curriculum vendors who are private companies. But these curriculum vendors that the charter authorizers, that the charter schools are contracting with, are the same curriculum vendors that many of our traditional public schools right here in Michigan are using. Again, it's just misinformation.
If Senate Bill 619 is such a good bill from your perspective, how come it only narrowly passed the House?
Well, anytime you have strict because here's why. I caucus, and I think the House of Representatives in general are supporters of traditional public schools. And when they hear the scare tactics from their superintendents and from their education community, you know, they want to make sure that concerns are addressed. And I have to tell you, I think a lot of the opposition to this bill was under the guise of how it passed in the Senate and even how it passed out of the Education Committee. This is a legislative process, and this process works. Taking those concerns into account, we've made several changes to this bill to make it really good policy and to address those concerns. But right. Again, the opposition is worried about competition and money for adults.
All right. Finally, Lisa, do you think the governor's going to sign this bill?
I know the governor's going to sign this bill. This is the future of education, and he's keenly aware that we need this type of virtual learning for charters and for our traditional schools, and that's what this bill does.
State Representative Lisa Lyons is the assistant majority floor leader. And Lisa, we appreciate your time. Drive safely. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great day.